Men, life can seem so meaningless, our world filled with hopelessness. Maybe it's because we're hoping for things that are temporary, a new car, a better job, winning the lotto. But true hope causes us to live differently. It changes our lives. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about, but seldom talk about. Our topic, life-changing hope, this time on Crossing the Goal. Kicking off our show on hope, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin, president and founder of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. It's the former saint himself, as in New Orleans Saints. Our coach, Danny Abramowitz. Curtis, why are so many people giving up?
Well, that brings us right to where we are today, Brian. We're going to talk about hope. And we live in a culture, a Christian culture, which is kind of crumbling, but a lot of people still have faith. We believe, we just don't believe it makes any difference. Mm-hmm. And hope gives us the tools to be able to recognize that what we believe in actually can change our lives. And in fact, if we yield ourselves in love, we're going to watch our lives transformed and, God willing, the world transformed.
Well, to expand upon that a little bit, why are people losing hope in a world that we're supposed to have everything together? We got all the things we need in life. Why is it? I believe is because there's a lack of real faith in God and the ultimate goal that He is the one that we have to place our hope in. And when you do that, you are going to despair. You're going to lose all interest of really ongoing interest of the eternal goal. Crossing the goal is eternal salvation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's intermediate hopes we have in life. Every one of us have hopes. You mentioned some of them at the opening of the show. I hope my son wins the ball game on Friday, that his team wins the ball game
on Friday,
good hope. And that he does well. It's a good hope. I hope that my family does well. I hope my business does well. Those are intermediate hopes, and they help us get through life. They help us have goals here and there. But what we need to be able to escape despair and ultimate meaninglessness, why do all these things have meaning? Because of the great hope that I have in my life, which is the knowledge of where my life is headed. Eternal life on high with Jesus Christ. My life has ultimate purpose. And until I really have that hope in here, a hope God wants to give me, all this stuff is only going to be temporary in its impact and feel in my life.
Let's be honest. I mean, if you look at the church during our lifetime, it hasn't been strong and vibrant. It hasn't transformed the culture. You look at the period of time we've lived through in the last 40 years, it's now legal to kill children. It wasn't 40 years ago. Why are we losing? We tend to think that the church isn't powerful because people's faith is not actualized in their lives. That's why we have to talk about hope. We have to enkindle hope in ourselves and in other men.
I mean, real faith, hope is not just positive thinking. Sometimes people look at it that way. I just need to think positive somehow generically about the future. Mm-hmm. Christian hope is rooted in a fact. It's rooted in the truth. And that hope, when it's deep in our hearts, really does change us. We're going to talk about that throughout the show today. But that's the most important message. Hope really does change our life in here.
And getting to this goal, go ahead, bro.
But hope is built on faith. We talked about faith, but it takes it to another level.
Well, faith and hope aren't inseparable. They're together. You know, if you don't have faith, you're not going to have much hope. You're going to have a false hope. Like we do a lot of these things in life. We say, well, if I can get this, I know that I'm going to be happy and have hope in life and everything like this. And then we get to that and we find out, well, that didn't do it. Well, let's move to this one. And we didn't get to that one. Well, let's move to this one. The next thing you know, we find out that especially the economy is down right now. Yeah. I see a lot of people that are really...
It's a test. There's
if
a
you
test
put your hope in the 401k...
Right.
I looked at mine
I watched
recently.
Mine. I looked at mine go down, too. It's a little tough. The first thing when you see it, you go, ah! Yeah. And it instills a little bit of fear in you. And you know, it's related in some ways, that fear, to something Paul says in the Scripture. He says that the devil's strategy is to enslave the human race through the fear of death. And hope puts a knife right into the heart of that attempt to fill us full of fear.
Speaking of strategy, I bet you guys have a game plan for us. All right.
Yeah.
Curtis and Peter, we'll get to the game plan next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
We get our hope by keeping our eyes on Jesus, but by the support of other men, other believers, who will pick us up and encourage us. Because there's really a lot of hope out there, but it's hard to find it through the maze that's the world that we live in today.
So many guys, they're empty right now. And even when they have the worldly goods of you know, money and fame, but once they achieve that, they're lost. They feel empty. So that faith fills that void and gives them great hope.
As bad as it sometimes seems, we know the mercy of God is so much bigger. And so I see great hope. I see great renewal with the Catholic men.
Peter, we're talking about hope. And hope is one of these things that we hear the word a lot, don't really know what it means. Break it down for us.
Yeah. Hope is related to faith, we said earlier. Faith is that gift from God. Both faith and hope are gifts, infused graces, things God gives us directly. Faith allows me to see God's plan and to know it. It's a way of knowing. It's a way of knowing the truth. It's a way of knowing the truth about what God has done. It's a way of knowing the truth about what God has done in a person. And what I see in that person, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, beginning the new creation, hope is that grace from God in me that says what I see in him is for me. It's not only something he did once in history in himself, but what happened in Christ is my future. So Christian hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and it's the deep conviction that what happened to him is mine. So if the resurrection didn't happen, Christian hope would make no sense. It's not just positive thinking. It'd be along the lines of what Paul said. Paul said, look, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. There is no reason to hope, because we're all going to die.
No, not only is hope not making sense, faith doesn't make any sense. I mean, let's get real practical. Imagine that you believed that there was such a thing as Hawaii.
And
you love the idea of Hawaii. Yeah. So you had faith in Hawaii and you loved Hawaii, but you didn't have any hope. You would never plan to take a trip to Hawaii. Hope is what actualizes your faith and mobilizes you in love. And what we have to recognize is we're not talking about Hawaii. You don't have to go there. It'd be fun to go there.
Right.
We're talking about heaven, and you absolutely have to go there.
Yeah.
So this is the most important thing in life for us to recognize that the faith we have, and many of us have a faith in Christ, but to mobilize that faith and recognize that hope allows me to recognize that my response to God makes a difference.
Yeah. And the root of meaninglessness that, you know, Brian was referring to at the beginning of the show, the struggle with all that and this human despair and all of it comes from the fact that I don't really know where I came from. I'm not really sure what my life is for here. And I don't even know where my life is going. So no matter how many positive things I can have in my life, ultimately, if I don't know where I'm going, I can't answer those fundamental questions. My life, the undercurrent of my life is, where's the meaning? What's this all for? And my life is moving toward death? That's it? It's all over? What's the point?
No, and it's very important. You're right on message here, because the absence of hope is seen in our culture in a profound way. We have unbelievable wealth and affluence. We have free time and toys to play with.
Yeah.
And yet in the last generation, youth and young adult suicide rates have risen 5,000% because they lack hope.
Yeah.
And so they have life without any meaning or purpose.
Yeah.
And then when suffering comes into a life without meaning and purpose, they just turn it off.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize we were made to live beyond this world. Once we do live, we recognize living beyond the world, then all of a sudden we can actually use this world in a very powerful way.
Yeah. And hope, that realization changes my experience of life. Hope has the power to change us and has the power to fill us with joy, courage, confidence, security. You and I were talking about Maximilian Kolbe earlier. Why don't you tell the story about Kolbe? Because I think it's a dramatic story of the power of hope.
No, and Kolbe, a Franciscan priest, a man just like you and I mean, he's made of the same things we are, but he's alive during one of the most desperate times in human history, during the Nazi Holocaust. And he's caught up in a prisoner camp. And at a certain point in time, some men are numbered out and they're going to be executed. And one of the men cries out and says, no, I have a wife and I have children. And Kolbe does an imitation of Jesus in an act of hope. He steps out and says, take me instead. That's the power to step right into the evil of this world and make a difference in a profound way.
And he had the courage to be able to face it. Now, here was the plan of the Nazis. The plan was to say, look, some of you tried to escape. We're now going to fill this place with terror by taking 10 men and basically murdering them, by putting them in a cell together, starving them to death, hoping they're going to go crazy and devour themselves with fear and terror and everything else. And in their midst was a man who was filled with hope. and he understood the purpose that we're born for the praise and glory of God, and that he had a power in him greater than this, and he ended up leading all nine of the others to the Lord. Instead of hearing madness and screaming come out of the cell, people heard hymns and songs and rejoicing. He led them right to heaven.
He led them right to heaven. The power that heaven inside of you, sanctifying grace, God's life inside of you and me, no one can take that away from us. As long as we hold on to it and have the hope, then we can walk through hell on earth, as Colby did and others have, to see the power to overcome anything the world or the devil could throw at us.
Any circumstance.
And men, you need to hear this, because you were made for this. And when you live below that, the world just waits and languishes without us.
No doubt about it. And I think the thing that I've seen more and more as I've just allowed and prayed for, Lord, build hope in me, let me see it, is that that hope has transforming power. And ultimately, like Paul said, I've learned now in any circumstance to be content. I learned the secret. In him was the source of my strength. I have strength for everything.
And we live in a broken world, and there's a lot of woundedness. And we've done a lot of things we're not proud of. And to recognize that forgiveness plays a role in hope.
Yeah.
That it's never too late to turn around and come back to Christ and say, look, I'm sorry, and I can have hope that I will be forgiven because you've promised me. And to be able to see the power of the Christian message in our lives today. We've talked about faith in previous shows. To be able to talk about what God did is very reasonable, to see that what he did changes our lives. But it changes our lives if and when we step forward and say, I believe. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, good game plan for hope that can change our lives, Coach. That means we're ready for the red zone.
I just hope I can make it.
I'll pray for you, Coach.
Okay.
The Red Zone's next, down in the pit, here on Crossing the Goal.
My hope is centered on Christ. I mean, Christ is that answer. And so it's not a concept to me. It's not a theory. It's a person. And I really think that my goal is to try and bring Jesus Christ to more men who then in turn become leaders of their family, leaders in their community, leaders in their business, leaders in their parish, and that transforms the world.
Part of the hope comes from just making sure that the guys are reminded of how much Christ loves them, loved them to the point of death, loved them individually, loves them so much that once you fully appreciate his love for us, then it's natural for us to just respond in kind.
Hope to me is waking every day knowing that no matter what happens, Christ is going to be there to give me the strength to deal with it in his passionate, humble way.
There is a God here who does love me. And so it restores a sense of goodness in the world, a goodness in men, and a goodness in God, for which there's something to be hopeful for in God's promises when we hear them.
Here in the Red Zone, we're talking about hope on Crossing the Goal, hope and hopelessness. And boy, you can just know that sinking feeling when you looked at your 401k statement recently.
Yeah, really. You know, I had that sinking feeling, I have to say.
I have to confess.
We're talking up there about what Paul says is that he says, I've learned the secret of contentment. In him was the source of my strength. I have strength for everything. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know, it's a challenge. Throughout life, we face these challenges. Like we see this, my 401k drop, and I start to worry about my future. My circumstances are changing. One of the first things that happens is panic. I'm scared. I'm frightened. You get frightened and you panic. And what hope is an anger said, time out. You've got what you need. Your life's going to reach its fulfillment. You got what you need, and you got all the strength you need to face whatever circumstance you're facing, and you can kind of have genuine peace inside to be able to face those kind of challenges, you know?
I like to share something personally on that same sort of thing. I can remember when people really thought that I had it together because I played in the NFL and I had all these things, and this guy's really got it together. Boy, he's on fire. He's got all the hope in the world.
Yeah.
And then really, with the way my lifestyle was, that I was a miserable person. And in fact, one morning I woke up, this is unbelievable, and I looked at my wife and the three kids in the room and went in to shave, and I looked in the mirror. And it's the first time I looked in the mirror and I saw Danny for who he truly was. I looked down through my eyes into my heart, and I was at the bottom. I lost hope. I hated this person for what I was done.
Yeah.
And now, but with that being said, the bottom allowed me to start moving up. What happened though, the faith started growing. With faith growing, mm-hmm. came hope up. Both of them together, but I had to hit bottom first.
Yeah. Well, you don't always have to hit bottom to do that. A lot of people do, because when you hit bottom, all of the lesser hopes are broken.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself looking up and saying, there is an ultimate hope. It resonates with my heart. I know that I was made for something greater than my 401k or even the NFL. Because people who have achieved those areas of success also experience the dissatisfaction. I thought this would make me happy. No, it can help if you're already in the right place. But if you're not in the right place, those things will never make you happy. It's not what you were made for.
Yeah, and my story is similar to Danny's in that my hope started with my hopelessness, that point of low bottom. However, it was because I was putting my hope in things that don't last. But for me, that was a good thing, to find out that those things didn't work anymore. I had to find another answer. I think that people that go on fooling themselves for years, hoping in things that don't last, are really the ones that get the short end of the stick.
You know, for a dark night for myself was when our son, Philip, was diagnosed with autism. And he's 2.5 years old. And I'm just ripped. I've got this kid that I don't know will ever be able to experience being loved by his parents or by his Lord. And what does this mean? I remember just sitting there in the middle of the night, just complaining and crying out to God. And in the middle of the night, the starlight hit the wall, and I look out, and there above our doorway is a crucifix. And I'm realizing I'm complaining to a guy hanging on a cross.
Mm.
He obviously understands sorrow in this life.
Absolutely.
And it reoriented my vision to be able to say, you know what, God, I know you have a plan and a hope for my son. And so I yield myself to that. And it didn't fix everything overnight, but it brought peace.
Yeah.
And that's
I bet that the son has been a blessing in your family.
In all the family.
Exactly.
In a huge
way. And here we sit. Each of these situations, we're talking about a circumstance that we feel is bigger than us.
Yep.
And that's exhausted us, taken us beyond our limits. And then we're afraid, we get stuck, we need help. And one of the reasons why we have to hit bottom sometimes is we're willing to look up. We're finally willing to look up. We actually admit, guess what? I don't have control anymore.
Right.
I can't, and I can't fix it on my own. I don't have the resources in me to fix this or change this circumstance. And then finally, we're willing to listen. And the one who's been pursuing you every day of your life, waiting for you to just quiet down, stop banging your head against the wall, and you'll take a look and you'll listen to him, and he's looking right at you with love and mercy and saying, don't sweat it, Danny.
And he never
disappoints. I can get you out of here.
And watch this. We've got to be careful here, because people think that they're going to have to give up all these other things, these other little hopes that you talked about.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
See, he wants you to worry about your son's game, 401ks and all these things. But what I'm finding out in this world, the Lord's not in the equation. The faith is missing. We got all our faith is in these other things. Just because you turn to the Lord, you're not going to lose all these other things.
Yeah.
You're going to gain. They're going to be more beneficial to you in your life. You're going to understand them in a different vein.
Yeah.
And then you're going
to.
There are people who have 401ks who are unhappy.
Yeah.
And people
exactly.
who don't have 401ks who are happy. So we know they don't cause happiness.
Right.
Right.
If you've got things right in your life, they can add to it. It's always better to have one than not. But if it keeps you from finding what's most important, then it actually becomes an obstacle to what's going to really bring you happiness. And that's where we fix our hope in the resurrection of Christ, as you said earlier, Peter. I mean, really, if the resurrection isn't true, we ought to stop living as if it were.
Right.
We're fools.
Yeah.
We ought to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Right.
But if it is true, then it should reorient everything in our lives.
And people can say, well, why are people living that way? Why are they living like eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die? You say, well, because if you don't know about the resurrection, that lifestyle makes sense.
Yep.
Because there is no meaning in life. And what's wrong with it? Why would it be any worse or better than anything else?
There's nothing wrong, because, wait, I had money and I didn't have money. I sort of like having money more than not having money.
Sure. Oh, really? You do? Yeah.
Right. So let's not use this thing like you're going to have to give up everything. And
right.
You know,
sure.
That if I do that, I'm going to really lose hope. No, you're going to gain. You're going to gain. And people come around you. People, that's this whole thing of surrounding ourselves with other people. That's where you get hope.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a big proponent of men sharing accountability.
Yeah, we need to share our hope with each other, don't we?
Like you can get through. You know, you were at rock bottom.
Right.
And a little glimmer of light started appearing within you, and then the Lord led you to other men, other people said, Danny, you're going to get through this.
No.
Let me tell you my story, Danny.
Exactly.
Let me tell you that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and this isn't the end for you, buddy. It's only the beginning.
Peter, you're right.
Yeah.
In fact, it ended up starting a prayer group at my house that I needed those guys more in my life, and that's how the Lord did it. I mean, that's where my hope, I really start saying, man, this is pretty
and
cool.
Think about
I didn't
this.
Know what to do, but
I mean, think about this, you guys. You know, like back in your drinking days, how many times after a ball game you're out with your buddies, you think, wow, I got all these friends and I'm having a great time and all that. And you think you have these wonderful friendships. And now, be honest, think about those friendships and the friendships you have now in the Lord.
Well,
and the depth
some,
and the joy.
Some of the friendships are
I know, I don't like
rocky.
To I don't like to admit I know you either. I don't like anybody to know that in public. I mean, wait a minute, we're here on television.
But anyway. No, you're right. Yeah. You're exactly right.
I mean, it's part of the joy. Yeah. It's part of the joy of sharing. And the reason it's joyful is because we actually share the relationship that we have in Christ together. And when the more you share it, the more it comes alive. And it does change. It helps bring joy to your life. It really
does. We inspire one another when we're up. We encourage one another when we're down. We spur each other on in hope.
And these guys know where you've been, Danny.
Right.
They know your story. And then they see you today with that hope, with that light in your eyes. That's something they want too.
And when you're around people like that, you know, when you sit around and start talking, all of us have different personalities, different things that happen to us in life, and you're in a meeting with somebody, you and I might not relate to one another, but you and Curtis might have something in common, and that's where the friendship's really built. But it's all on the principle of faith-based, the spiritual, looking inside of ourselves. See, men are afraid many times to look inside themselves. Once they get a handle on this, then your hope, your faith, everything starts growing. And I know that it's through the Lord putting other men into my life.
Guys, what about that guy out there right now that just doesn't have any hope?
I was just thinking about him, yeah.
Where do you start?
Yeah.
With him, first thing I would do is look into his life and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm really whipped down.
Yeah.
I don't know where to turn. Please put somebody in life. First of all, would you come into my life? And then, would you put somebody in my life? And what's he going to say? No. He is going to put people in your life. He drops them in all day long. We're just not open to it.
Yeah.
Once you pray that prayer, I promise you that life is going to start changing. You're going to have one or several people come into your life that's going to have a dramatic impact.
Right, but you would agree, Danny, to say the prayer, yes, but to... from the heart.
From the heart.
Get your room by
all
yourself.
Out. Right.
All
yeah.
out. Lord,
all
I'm
out.
Not screwing around here. This is you and me. I'm in a bad place right now.
Yeah.
I heard today on television that you could fix that, and I want right now to yield my life to you deep. Yes. Everything
and I'll follow.
I have.
I mean, he's ready there to take you by the hand, and he's saying, say, Lord, I'll give it to you. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. Now I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'll
and be ready for things to be different.
Yeah.
You guys all get your last word. We're going to go to the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
All right, thanks, John. Yeah, okay.
With Hope Men, we're going to live our lives differently. Here in the end zone, we give each of our team members an opportunity for the last word, beginning with Peter.
I was just thinking about a passage from Romans 5. Paul says, the hope we have does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. No matter what circumstance you're facing, you've got help. You've got the Holy Spirit, brother. So I want to challenge you, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you out of whatever difficulty and circumstance you're in, and He will be faithful.
To build on that, Peter, because you're right, is to recognize, man, that you were made for a purpose. God has willed you into existence for a reason and a purpose. In fact, Jeremiah, the prophet, says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for a future and a hope that you will come to me and pray to me. And to recognize that God wants to build a life of hope and promise in you so that you'll be able to trust Him as a father who wants what's best for you. So my encouragement to you is to really take God at His word and entrust your lives to Him in a new way.
Thank you, Curtis. Man, are you out there in your life really sort of down in the dumps sometimes, waking up in a bad mood, just things aren't going right for you? Well, I got a suggestion. I want you to turn your life over for the next 30 days to the Lord. just tell him, Lord, I'm all yours. You want to do it through prayer, through scriptures, just ask, Lord, go to Mass more than on Sunday. I guarantee your life will change. If not, within 30 days, we'll give you your misery back.
Yeah. Misery back guarantee.
Misery,
yeah, misery guarantee. Back guarantee, yeah. Guarantee. Right here from
misery
crossing
back
the goal.
Guarantee.
And I was, for a minute, I thought that Curtis was going to quote Jeremiah the Bullfrog.
Yeah.
Thanks for not doing that. Well, man, I hope you got some hope from our conversation. Next time on Crossing the Goal, we'll look at the theological virtue of love. Until then, dare to be great. We're made for it.